Okay, is that better? Okay, so I would just suggest, you know, you could do something different, maybe not have preaching, but just take some time to go through this and also share what God's doing in your heart from the Word, and maybe bond together a little bit more on going through that. Just a suggestion. Sometimes we need to stop. I was talking with Dale the other day. Sometimes, you know, it says, be still and know that I'm God. It doesn't hurt to be quiet, and then also it doesn't hurt confess our faults one to another. Sometimes you need to go to somebody. I know I am easily influenced sometimes and can believe what somebody says. Like I was visiting with a young man a little over a month ago, but I went and checked with somebody else on it and found out the root problem. And we're really pretty prone to be influenced by all kinds of things. The whole world is on image, how things look. You know, when I grew up, there was a lot of black people down there, and the thing was to have a Cadillac for them. And it was really funny sometimes. You see somebody driving around in a Cadillac and just sweating. The windows are up. The air conditioning doesn't work. But they want to look good. That can happen to any of us. Image. Well, I'm going to try to maybe slip through this so we're not too late tonight. Vicki and I are going to leave pretty soon after the message. And so if you want to visit with us, maybe we'll eat a bite. Try to get down the road. So a 13, 14-hour trip isn't so hard. Then we got company coming in Tuesday back down there. So, Father, Lord, this is quite a subject and can be quite convicting as we realize we really don't pray as we should, and we agree to things and say things before we've even really prayed about it, and before we know we're in trouble. And then if we won't confess it and humble ourselves because of our pride, we go ahead and get into more trouble. But I thank you that you always are there to dig us out of the ditch if we'll confess to you and ask for help. Now I pray that the Holy Spirit would take these last few moments as we go through the rest of the verses in Acts and just help us to glean at least one thing for ourselves. Maybe you'll give us something that's going to help somebody else too. And again, if there's any without Christ here or listening on this message, we pray that the Holy Spirit show them that the Father loves them. The Lord Jesus loves them. The Holy Spirit loves them and is drawing them to surrender their heart to Christ, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to commit themselves to you, to repent and turn from their way, and to cry out to you. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. So work in their hearts and also in our hearts if there's something we need to do, and you have really been laying out a lot of things to us. So guide through here now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I think we are up to, let's see where did I leave off, number 16 and 14:23 of Acts. Acts 14:23. There's one man here visiting this morning. Mark works up at the training center talking about my eyesight, trying to give me a hint about some kind of chocolate that's sold at the store that's supposed to help your... I'll eat any chocolate. just bring it on. Sounded okay. He puts it in his smoothie. I'll put it on anything then. All right. This is a verse in 14:23. And again, we're fairly familiar with things going on. If I can get my eyeballs to focus here. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So they've gone in and kind of figure a lot of these places with the Gentiles, these are just plain raw pagans. But yet the word of God is cleansing their life up enough to where they can be leaders. And so they're going through, they're following 1 Timothy and Titus on the qualifications and doing it. This area has been really pretty hard over the years and getting into churches. I'm still working in one area that I've been going into for years. And they went 40 years. And then the pastor began to get such tight control on everybody The young men couldn't go get a pickup if they wanted to. They had, and it was just really tight control. And then his wife died, and then he crashed. And they had to kick him out of the church, basically, about his life. But before he did, he put his son in to be his pastor, and you're okay. You know, you just sort of come into this. But his son was not qualified. And so here he is. He was a businessman. And all of a sudden, then he's a pastor. And his teaching was so bad and whatever, they had to come to him and ask him, can somebody else teach? I mean, Sunday mornings he was taking it, and that was wasn't very good. I wasn't there, and I know I'd talked to him before they had their problems. I talked to him, and then he had me talk to all his men, and we're trying to get problems. But after that's when this happened. And so he just left, and I've seen that happen. In other words, I think if he had had the qualification of humility, he would have stepped back. And when the Grace and Ice Church got going, the guy asked me if I would leave the church. I said, sure, it's your church. And that's how Zyrus got started. Just hold everything like this. Whatever we try to grab a hold of can become an idol. On it. But that's the situation, and it became very bad, and I'm still working with some folks down there, and I've met with that man that crashed the first time. This was the father, but the father was messed up, and I've met with him a couple times. Anyway, I'm still meeting down there. We'll go down there next month again. Okay, so I'm just telling you, this area, we have to pray. You pray for your leaders all the time, and so I might share one more with you because this one was really interesting. And I know you like stories. Some of these are pretty rough. But I had put a buddy in to pastor a church. And one of the men in the church talked to me and another buddy of mine. We were moving in there, tried to get us to explain there was a problem with what we did. But we wouldn't listen to him because he was our friend. And someday I'd like to meet him and talk to him and say, I'm sorry I didn't listen to you. I had to learn the hard way. But the guy I put in, he was really a novice. And he'd gone to Bible college, but he wasn't really ready for that. And so the Lord made me to go in and work with him. And there ended up being five of us elders, and he was the pastor. And we had quite a time. God had worked in that town in revival powerfully. But then one day, my other buddy that had been involved with me from the beginning, we both moved in there, he said he was noticing that the men were not coming to church. The women were there, and the pastor was getting tighter and tighter control on the women. But he noticed the men were sort of backing away and not coming to church, and the wives were. And actually, I noticed that and told him. And so he went to prayer. He was a prayer warrior. He's an intercessor. He's one to get banged on when we go off places. And so he came back and he said, it's the pastor's wife. God had showed him. And here's what it was, is while he was gone, he'd have somebody preach. And so what happened is, and I preached there once. I was there preached once in 2.5 years. But I'm coming down to Missouri and preaching going and stuff. But anyway, what we found out was if anybody preached and they were anywhere good, she was envious of her husband and would give a bad report, and you never got to preach again. That was the spirit. You got to be really careful on who you influence in leadership. So here's a woman beginning to take control of the church just by influencing her husband. And so we would go to the cabin down on the lake. And you should find a cabin on a lake around here. But so when we went there and we confronted him about it, we got an invitation to leave. He says, it's time for you boys to just leave. Go find your own church. And so that's how our church started, because we went to Missouri. And then he went up to South Dakota. But after that, they went for a little while, but then it crashed. And then God dealt with him. And he went back and worked for his mom as a hired man for 10 years until God could teach him. And there were things there. He was an evangelist, and God was really using him coast to coast. But just that one spirit of envy, which happens a lot in leadership in churches. And even my mom and dad's church, they had a man, he just finally left a few years ago. But every 5 years, he'd run the pastor off. He'd been in there so long, he thought it was his church. But the last pastor, the one still there, good. Dad said he's the best preacher in town. He wouldn't leave until he saw this guy left. But in the meantime, he poisoned some people against it. So this area is very delicate. Let's go on to another one. Acts 16, there's actually several verses there. 9, 13, 16, and 25. And in this, what we're going to see is that God will give you direction in prayer. Let's see if I can get over to 16. 16 and verse 9. And again, there's context in all of this. In the first few verses, Timothy, it looks like, is joining Paul. And then Paul gets a vision from Macedonia. And so he gets this vision. They're praying about it. They're trying to go. They're up in the area where I used to live in Turkey. They're up north of where I lived. I lived in Izmir. Between there and Istanbul, up in that area, they were there. And they're trying to go to different places. And then he gets a vision, verse 9, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia. So as he's praying, he gets direction. And this is the thing. A lot of times in our praying, we can get some direction. The Holy Spirit will give us some direction on which way to go and things like that. And by the way, in getting direction on things, I've learned one time to listen to suggestions that people would give me. Because if I've ever got in trouble about in one area, it's not listening to counsel. Oh, no, I'll do it my way. So if somebody goes to the trouble to tell you something or share something with you, maybe you should pay attention to it. I even learned this with my dad. Sometimes he would suggest we go a certain way home. And so I learned, okay, I'm just going to stay under my dad's authority and follow that. So I became a little bit more sensitive, but I have made lots of mistakes in not listening to counsel. Oh, man, you don't want to hear all those. And I don't want to tell you. All right, and so the blessing, direction comes from prayer, and then thus the blessing comes out of the prayer that was answered, and we follow. And if you follow on into this in 13 and 14, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither, and then Lydia gets saved. And so you have souls getting saved from him praying, getting direction, and going on. In 14, the Lord turned her heart, and so they just go on in prayer. In 16, came to pass that we went to prayer. Now, this is what I said this morning. Opposition's going to come. God's going to bless, and the devil's going to blast. I guess they got a deal going, and he lets them do it to show us where we're weak. That's, you know, when Israel began to get bad, then God would let the enemy come in to show them, hey, you guys need to repent and get back right. Chunk your idols and get all of that. And so souls are getting saved. And that's the way it's going. Another thing, direction in prayer, then the blessing follows the prayer. And then the third thing is the opposition to prayer. And that came along. Remember, Daniel was resisted 21 days by the angels fighting it out. Let me give you a fourth thing. This is a lesson. When you go into warfare, prayer, and things, these three things. One, you have to resist the enemy. That's our weapon. You know, you put on your belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod the preparation of gospel of peace. You take the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, and you stand. You resist the enemy. That's our weapon. Then also, though, if you're going to resist, you need to rest. Rest in the Lord. Go to Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Look at how many times it's told you're supposed to rest. In other words, let God fight the battles. Somebody said years ago, I don't know what it was, Adverbs 3:6. You heard that one? You know, I don't know about the theology. He said, don't sweat the small stuff. And then he said, the next verse is, it's all small stuff. God will take care of all the details. You just keep your focus on him. That's the thing. So rest in the Lord. And then if you're resting, if you're resisting, resting, you'll be rejoicing. And that's powerful. God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalms, somewhere in there, 22:3, I think it is. God, and then in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you're a chosen people. You are special. Each one of you that belong to Christ, you're special. And those of you that don't belong to Christ, he died for you to make you special. And so that we should show forth the praise of him. There's one guy, you heard about Billy Bray? Yeah, you like old Billy. You know, he's going everywhere. And the guy says, what happens, Billy? You know, one foot hit the ground, praise the Lord. The other, glory to God, everywhere. You know, what happens, Billy, if you go to hell? He said, I'm just going to keep on praising God and giving glory to God till the devil comes down and says, Billy, you can't do that down here. We've got to keep rejoicing in the Lord. Once you quit, then the devil's going to work on you. He's going to beat down on you. So if you're not rejoicing, what are you doing? Probably complaining. I know you wouldn't do that, but focus on yourself or worrying or your anger or whatever. Next verse. I'm going to slip on over to Acts 20. Acts 20. 36. And I'm going to pick up 21:5 at the same time. So a lot of things have happened. We've moved on. We're going to pick up another verse. There was maybe a couple more back there. But in 36, when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore. What's happening is he is moving towards Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit is giving witness to different people that something bad's going to happen to him. But the Holy Spirit is just saying, and they're not really interpreting it right all the time, but the Spirit of God is just saying when he goes there, he's going to go into another adventure, and he does. He ends up getting a free boat ride to Rome to probably witness to Caesar, and he got to witness to the big Roman guys after he got in prison. So they're saying, don't go, but they kneeled down and prayed, and then 21:5, and when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went out of the way, and they brought us all on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. We kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Remember, the secret of failure is what? The failure in prayer. So they're commissioning him, even though he feels like he's committing suicide, but he's in the will of God. Jesus talks to him later on about this. Matter of fact, I'm going to share something to you about what the Lord did. So what we have here is the adventure of prayer. They're sending him off. They feel like he's crazy. He shouldn't go there. Something's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's witnessing. But so he goes on. And excuse me. And so 23 and 24, I think it was. Yeah, was that word, bonds and afflictions? Yeah, the Holy Ghost is witnessing in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me, but none of these things move me. When he's in the will of God and he's moving forward, nothing's going to get in his way. And so they kneeled down and they prayed and they're crying and they're sending him off. And you just count the cost. 21:4. he's just counted the cost. He sold out to the Lord to go all the way. Let me say four things about this, four keys. First of all, if you've got direction from God, persevere. Keep at it. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in always. But I'll pray. You go through all those things. You just keep at it. In other words, the Greek says, never give up. I wasn't ever very good at Greek, so. But anyway, that's what perseverance is. You just never give up. back again to this book. It's got a lot of stories, and if you get the book, you'll see some of the things that I've shared. And I have to watch my time because there's so many interesting stories in here. I think I'm going to just skip that one. This is about a gal that had trouble with somebody that came to see her, and it just was never good. So she just went to God and got the victory in prayer, and everything worked out. Just a little story, and she wrote a book about it. Let your request be made known unto God, Philippians 4:6 again. so persevere, number two, let me keep on track. Never pray in unbelief. I'll tell you by experience, it doesn't work. Pray in faith. Just pray in faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that sinless. So somebody said true prayer never goes unanswered. So if you're going to come to God and you pray, believe he's going to do it. Believe it. And this thing with the blind man that came to Jesus, and when he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And there's other places too, when they came to Jesus in faith. Nobody ever got turned away that came to Jesus in faith. Pharisees didn't do too good because they wasn't coming in faith. But without faith, what? It's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, persevere, don't pray in unbelief. And another thing, let him answer the way he wants. We went through this morning. Just let him answer the way he wants. And he might just really surprise you, may shock you, and he may have something happen that you never would have dreamed that you don't really care for. But God knows what he's doing. And so let him drive the bus in there. Let me say something about this. Paul went to the Lord how many times to get this thorn out of his life? Three times. At least we can get to three. One, two, three. Anywhere from there, you know, if we go past 10, we got to get our toes. But Paul was a better man with his thorn than he was without it. You got a thorn in your side? Man, I got a whole bush. You'll be maybe a better Christian with your thorn than you would without it. What did David need? He was a better man, a better king with King Saul. And also Joseph was a better man and could be used by God to do what he did with his pit. Don't underestimate the power of God to work through your negative circumstances. Usually we think the problem is the problem, but usually many times the problem is us. So here's the fourth thing. If you're gonna go into this avenue of the adventure of prayer, always glorify God. Always, because if you're not glorifying God, again, what are we doing? We're off in the ditch, mumbling, grumbling, or bewildered or something. But just glorify the Lord. Just glorify them. let me go to the next one. Acts 22. Reference 19. Acts 22 and 17. 19th reference. I only got 20. So, okay, here we are. 22:17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Okay, so he's moving on. He gets to give his testimony of his conversion. And usually Paul, sort of like Peter, preach and then have a riot. You know, he preached the gospel and you have things happen. Paul was continually, have you ever thought about how many times he took 39 stripes? How many times he spent in the deep and all the things he went through? The guy just, and maybe he died one time, let down in a basket out of all the things. You look at all the things, all the times he had these 39 stripes on his back. My, the devil hated him. And so here's the first thing on this. I'll probably just share a couple things on it and some details. But this is the protection of prayer. Prayer keeps us under the authority. How do you know it's protection? Well, look at verse 18. He's got this. He's praying. He's in a trance. And saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now he's given his testimony, and then they have the riot because these prejudiced Jews don't like Gentiles. And then he gets hauled off by the army there, by the centurion, and he ends up in jail and speaking to the guys and ends up going on to Rome with all the things happen. So let me say a couple things about this. And we've heard stories about missionaries, these type of things, and Otto Koning maybe have stories like this where the natives come and we were going to attack you last night, but we couldn't get through those shiny ones. That story's been around a lot. In prayer, you're protected. Outside of prayer, we may be in trouble. Let me share a little story with you. The Cape Horn, is at the bottom of South Africa. We didn't quite go down to the bottom, but we went far enough, I guess. One time there was a whaler down there, and he was fighting the waves and the storms. And he's fighting these storms, and he said, "Why fight it? We will just turn and go with it. We'll go back up to the west side of Africa. South Africa is the country in the bottom. And there'll be whales up there, too." He's just fighting. Have you ever fought, trying to fight some circumstances or something in your life, and just things are not going too good? Then turn around and go with the wind. Go with the Holy Spirit's leading you. It's like somebody said many times years ago, he'd hear this, "If it's hard, I'm doing it. If it's easy, the Lord's doing it." So he did. Here's his testimony. They came up there and they found that a boat had crashed and there was four lifeboats with men and they'd been, and they were just about to the end of it. They were going to die. No water, no food. And here's the quote. He said, "I have begun every day of my Christian life with prayer that God use me to help someone also. And I am convinced that God put the idea in my mind to change the course of my ship that saved 14 lives. And the 14 lives had this testimony that they had been praying to God frantically that somebody would rescue them. Things work together. For protection, for provision. How many times has somebody given something to somebody else and they said, "Wow, I was just praying for that. Just praying for that." The Daniels have told me that many times as they would get something sent over. And so the protection of prayer. Then you go into the provision that it goes in and things like this. Think about Moses up there with the rod. And while Joshua's down there fighting, he's getting tired. Your leaders get tired. Hold them up in prayer. Every time they're going to pray for them every day. I pray for these guys. You pray for them. Because Moses, Aaron and Hur had to come up and hold up his hands. When his hands dropped down, what? The Amalekites were winning the war. Many times we don't understand the spiritual principles that God has laid out for us. And so his hands were heavy. And so they held him up. Obey God when he gives you something to do. Pray for your leaders. Pray for a different one and like that. And the war was won by being a team. You'll win the war if you're more of a team. That's why I think it'd be good to sort of slow down and begin to communicate. Go through these things on this list. Look at the passage of Scripture, get some more Scriptures, and talk to one another. Share your burdens. One young man today was sharing how he had such a devastating thing in his life for years and finally got the victory over it. But he had to have help. So, obey God, pray, and win the war. Be safe. One time I was hunting with my dad. We'd go squirrel hunting down in the south. Southerners eat squirrels. Y'all know that? Some of them Cajun types down there eat different things too. You just don't ask questions. My one friend, if it was warm, he threw it in the back of the truck. Roadkill. What are you barbecuing? Don't ask. So we're hunting, my dad and I, and we're going along, and Dad says, "Freeze." We were used to doing that. There are certain type of squirrel. You have gray squirrels and fox squirrels. The foxy squirrels are the ones, as you come by, they sort of scoot around the tree. So you go one ahead and one behind. Ah, Dad's got a squirrel. Boom! He shot a big old rattlesnake right at my feet. One more step. You'd have to get somebody up here to preach other than me, you know. There's protection in praying, in obeying, as God shows us these things. You know, why did Paul ask for prayer so much? I'll tell you something. I'm going to tell you a story. I'll probably close up with this one. So because I'm going to close up with it, I'm not closing down right now. I'll tell you later. Not too long either. Go over to Acts 28:8. Let's pick up our last one. Last one. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. This seemed to be a special privilege that the apostles had. We see this sometimes, but it seemed like that they had just a special anointing for God to do unusual things. Then as the church got established, the word of God was given to us. We don't see as many of that. We sometimes can see those things. But so look how Paul has entered in to the life of these people. And he laid his hands on them and he's healed. And it just reaches out to others. Just everything in your life, every detail, every exigency, these emergencies that come along, these surprise things, you know, God is governing in our lives. And we sort of don't relax sometimes instead of praising Him, going through those things and rejoicing in Him. So here's the healing of prayer. And it worked. And I'm sure he's preaching the gospel as these guys go through there. Because that's what we do as Christians. In the circumstances, many times we're given opportunities. God's trying to get us to somebody that needs a track or needs a witness or something. And we'll blow it many times because we're sort of upset because this wasn't my way to go. But learn to see God is in on it. God is in on it. And so, and also in this area of healings, you go to James 5:14-16. He's given us instructions on what to do. And one of the purposes of that, to see if there's anything wrong in the life, to bring on that. I remember I was listening to a message by Chuck Swindoll one time on the radio or something. And one lady come in, had terrible back pain, and wanted to be prayed over, anointed with oil, and so she could get healed. So they began to examine her, and she was terribly bitter against somebody. And they got her free of her bitterness, and her back pain was gone. So the examination is to see if there's anything there. James 5:14-16. Do you pray? And also, as Dale shared, to unworthily, 1 Corinthians 11:27, to take communion unworthily. That means in a way that's irreverent. We'll mock God. So, and the root of it goes back into the Greek of being unfit. So, the second thing then was the healing of prayer. And then the second thing in this, and I'll close down on this one, was the healing of the spiritual condition, which is why we need revival. Like I said this morning, you fix your car, you fix your motorcycle, you fix your mower, you fix your house, you know, you fix your washing machine, you fix your kids, and we fix everything. But as a body of believers, we have to stay fixed. You know, it's just our cars don't run too good. All things but the Spirit. So this is why we need revival. Matter of fact, the early church lived in revival and thrived in revival. And Ananias and Sapphira tried some shenanigans. And they lied to the Holy Spirit and they lied to God. And they died. They lied and died. And boldness came in there and fear and great reverence. The church is not very respected. I'm going to tell you this story, then I'm going to close down on it. You've had a long day. And I wrote this out. Are we willing to check ourselves? And that when we're taking communion, he's reading all those things. I'm thinking over there, oh, yeah, Lord. So I'm confessing to the Lord. This is really good. Years ago, this is why you have dangers. You need to be tight. You need to be tighter and communicate and work with each other. You never know when somebody's going to come in to destroy you. And old what's-his-name is always waiting for an opportunity, isn't he? He is. Lord, help us if we would be a tool of the enemy. I was, and I probably told you this in two, but I was painting with some professional painters in Northwest Arkansas. We took a sabbatical break down there, and then our church came out of that with a radio broadcast. But you remember me telling you about them? God, again, he said, keep your mouth shut and listen. So I'm working with them. There's a mother and a dad and a daughter, and the mother and the daughter ran the dad like a puppy dog. Go get this. Go get that. Do this. And, you know, they just ran them everywhere, and I began to listen to them. And I could hardly believe what I was hearing, and God said, keep your mouth shut. They would go into churches. They would go to a church, get in there a little bit, and then their goal, their spiritual gift from God, was to destroy the pastor and then leave and go to another church. That's their spiritual ministry. Isn't that something? God had me hear that. And so you need to be careful on who comes in. Be careful who you know, your kids are around. We need to pay attention because we can take on some damage. So how do you do that? Anybody got a clue? Pray about everything. Pray about everybody. Pray for everybody. Keep contact with everybody. You're as strong as your weakest link. And that weak link, if it breaks, you lose fellowship. And the disciples were continually filled with what? With joy. Look at Acts 13, the last verse in there. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So when we come together, our fellowship is to be with the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. And our fellowship with one another is to be pure. Thank you, Father, for this time. We've gone through, it's been pretty fast, and I've sort of gone through some things. And I just pray that you use this to encourage us all. It's encouraged me, it's challenged me to be more careful and in everything by prayer. To pray for one another. We see something's not right, to pray and not become, we can be judges so often when actually we've got a log in our eye when you see a splinter in a brother or sister. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. I pray for your blessing upon this body of believers, for each one here, have some that have visited, that the Spirit of God would rest upon this body and each one here, that the Holy Spirit would be able to continually use us, and that we would be sensitive to that which grieves you and quenches you. I think you are going to just put a special blessing here, Father. Thank you for this place. Thank you for all of the missionaries that they support. I know the enemy just like to knock out the base. So I pray for your blessing, your protection. And bless some of these work so hard. They're so busy. This group, Father, they're really busy bees. And so in all the busyness, help them to take some time to be still before you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.